Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Working hard and practicing hard. Part of the quote, he's practicing hard. He's doing all the right things. He's been in a great mood this week, so he understands what we have to do as an offense. And then he does juxtapose that with Freiermuth's comments that we played from after the game. Everyone can bitch and complain about a lack of targets, etc.
Yeah.
So there's a guy who was very critical of him after the game today, apparently.
Well, he's trying to do the same thing if the coach is...
closing ranks around the player. Calvin Austin quoted in this story as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's because that's what the coach did. But when Pat made those comments Sunday night or Monday morning after the game, he didn't know that Mike on Tuesday was going to run interference and protect George and not administer any tough love whatsoever. So he to me, he's a more honest broker on Sunday after a game than he is today when he knows his coach's messaging, which is to try to keep all of this in-house and not fan the flames at all.
There's apparently more George Pickens' father tweets that Ray is citing too. George Pickens, the athlete, a very fiery competitor that wants to win. He's a very talented young guy that has definitely been misunderstood. He has the super competitive gene, and guys with that gene have to be involved early and often. It's an engaged tactic. Involve him early.
And if you don't, that super competitive gene doesn't apparently kick in.
I just think the
super competitive gene needs activated within the first few plays of the game. If not, it just
or else
fades
it goes,
away. Yeah.
That's the part I can't.
Goes on the fritz.
I could believe a lot of this and try to look at it through rose-colored glasses, but no matter how pissed off you are, if there are plays where you are the primary target and you know the play, so you know you're the primary target and you're not going 100%, it makes me wonder how much of a competitor at that moment you are.
I know it's a whole different generation. So I have to preface what I'm about to say by starting it that way and not trying to come off as, you know, Clint Eastwood in the Gran Torino movie where I'm just old man screaming, get off my lawn, all right? But I juxtapose that with just a few all-time greats. Mike Tomlin obviously has a great history of the game, and these are not names that George Pickens wouldn't know about based on where he went to college and also because they're not that far removed from playing in the NFL. Friggin' Calvin Johnson played in an offense at Georgia Tech where they ran the GD option for crying out loud, and he almost never got the ball and never complained about it. Hines Ward played in what can only be described as a run first, run second, and probably run third offense until Ben Roethlisberger really came into his own. And yes, he had a chip on his shoulder and thought, you know, I was never...
He also carved out a reputation as one of the most violent
right.
and feared blockers in the
entire
league.
Yes, I never remember him saying, throw me the damn ball or anything like that. He would get his jollies off if it wasn't with 10 catches, it was by your right, knocking
Keith Rivers'
someone's
jaw
head off,
being placed in
okay,
a...
and never bitched about that. Might have bitched about how much credit he got for the way he played, but never complained about his role in the offense. How about Larry Fitzgerald, who literally in the biggest game of his career in the Super Bowl, I don't think, Donnie, did he get a ball thrown his way until like the two-minute mark of the second quarter? You want to talk about getting involved early and often? Go back and watch that game. Go back and watch Super Bowl 43.
Well, Fitzgerald, just played with some of the worst quarterbacks for a chunk of his career.
But I'm just saying, in that game, he didn't need to get activated early.
Well, I just think that even if you're not getting the ball early, you have to stay engaged, especially, like, I'll even differentiate. If it's a backside running play and you go 70% because there's almost no way the play is coming in your direction, whatever. But if there are plays that are very clearly being called and then run that are designed to get you loose, you've got to go hard, and he did not do that on
every
one of those.
Here is the other thing about what Ray is reporting on this. This information that was given to the Post-Gazette, if it's from Steelers coaches or Steelers front office, that's bad because that means that they're comfortable sharing that with someone that's going to spread it and make it public knowledge, which
that they not even that they're comfortable, that they want the person to right. make it public knowledge.
Which does this person who's working for the Steelers, whether they outrank Mike Tomlin, no one outranks Tomlin, but
Art Rooney it, does. But yeah, I but can't I, imagine Art would call up Ray and be like, Ray, you know what? This guy's been late.
This is the last thing Tomlin wants out there because he's trying to coddle the player. So someone said, the hell with it, I'm going to break rank here to get this information out there. Well, no, just one more thing I'm going to say is, I mean, if it's a player or multiple players who told them this, then that goes to show you that there's individuals in that locker room who are fed up with it and frustrated and tired of it with him.
I'm not sure which players.
Special allowances being made to a guy who's not trying on game day. Because to go back to what Ray wrote, yeah, guys were probably annoyed that there was a different set of rules for Antonio Brown, but when he got it done and they won games because of his electrifying play, it's like, it's very hard to be mad at this guy. You know, it's like you're getting on your kid because he never studies and he's up playing video games till 4 o'clock in the morning, but the son of a gun comes home and it's all A's. So what do you say then? Okay, well, some people are just, they show up when they show up when they need to. Pickens is not doing that. The juice isn't worth the squeeze, if you will, with him. He is not produced to the level where you turn a blind eye or you...
He made one key catch in that game on the final drive. He did, you know, make a guy miss and get out of bounds and get about 20 yards and not respond when he got late hit.
And do you think the coaches on that sideline were like, you know what? George was 2 hours late for practice the other day, and this is why we're cool, because look at the one play he just made in this game.
Because the head coach, who I don't believe is doing anything other than trying not to fan the flames with the media, looked like if he had turned in George's direction after a 3rd-and-4 drop in the third quarter, would have tried to give him a Bradshaw-level clothesline, Donnie. He looked so pissed that he dropped that ball.
Terry Bradshaw, or the
wrestler, okay. Guy from the APA.
That Donnie, what's your reaction to this story? You believe it?
I mean, I
they're trying to slander and smear campaign the man here with this.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I can't say I'd be surprised if it was true that he's.
Which of his teammates would say it, though, Ray? Like, I'm not trying to out the person who would be the source here, but I'm trying to do process of elimination. Hayward tries to keep everything in-house, unless it's, like, pertaining to his own Cam, that is. Like, his own contract he was loud about, but I think Hayward tries to keep it in-house. I don't think Watt would say it. You know who's a guy who I think, like, at least would be pissed off enough and would be almost seen as, like, the most Tomlin-like guy on that roster? Minka, who had problems with Deontay Johnson before he was traded. I'm not accusing Minka of being the source. I'm playing a little guessing game here. But he strikes me as the kind of guy who would be pissed off enough to go anonymously to a reporter and say, you can put this out there, just keep my name off of it, but he's not showing up on time.
I think anybody that's passionate about winning and thinks that there's a connection or correlation between what you put in and what you get out would want to volunteer this to expose the guy, hoping that maybe it would light a fire under him or motivate him. Tomlin is such a hypocrite with this stuff, and that's why everything he said yesterday was complete crap. Starkey said it was one of his worst moments as a coach, which I found interesting. Like, I put more stock in when, I don't know, you give up 45 points to Blake Bortles at home in a playoff game, but I get it. I think he meant like when he publicly addresses in terms of the media interaction part of his job. He often tries to talk about how, with Pickett he did this, how important hard work is. He works so hard. What do you like about Kenny? Man, this guy is a football junkie.
We made him an office with a cubicle.
Yeah.
Which, man, in retrospect, oof.
But then you just let this guy walk all over you.
Treats everybody fair, but not equal.
Yes, but you let this guy, who we all agree has boatloads of potential, but that's really what it is.
And that's why Tomlin lets him do this, because he has potential and there's nobody else.
That's where I think it goes back to, like, the thought I had yesterday.
And he knows he can get away with it.
We said it earlier today that Pickens is a smarter guy than people may believe. He knows that all the guys behind him are nowhere near his level on the field. He knows he can get away with stuff like this. It has happened at every level of football that has ever existed.
The guys, the kids that know that, man, I can pretty much do whatever I want, they ain't going to put me on the bench forever. Like, maybe they bench him a little bit like they did Sunday night, but it's not like they will staple him to that bench. They will.
They put him back out there and call. They put him back out there and called plays for him on the game. You know, the go ahead drive.
Though players will call the bluff when they know that they have a leverage in the situation, because he knows George Pickens. I mean, they're not going to put out Lee Mays 2.0 or give Roman Wilson a helmet over him any day soon.
You know what I would do then for him? Okay, so like you're taking advantage of your situation with us. You're still costing yourself millions of dollars by doing this. You're probably not going to get a contract from us. Someone else will pay you because of they'll think they'll be able to get through to you, but you're not going to get.
You still got to produce
for somebody
else.
Not going to get Nico Collins, Jamar Chase, Amon-Ra St. Brown money, anything like that.
Well, you
man.
Still got to produce for somebody else if and when you get dealt there. If you get your, if you're playing chess and trying to get out of town, the next place you go, you have to be on your best behavior and put up numbers. Because if you go to two different places and the numbers might be there in fits and spurts, but the behavior frustrates people, you're going to get seen as a malcontent.
I don't trust him to just change his stripes like that overnight.
He would if he went to Kansas City. Because
you
ultimately, they would get him involved very early.
You know what, though? People say that.
He would.
But, like, did the light bulb go on for Kadarius Toney there? It got worse.
Well, the main thing with him is he tried to catch passes like his hands were covered in baby oil.
Yeah, that didn't help for sure.
Like Juju, though, does Juju do any running of his mouth right now? I saw him in that game Monday night.
I told you, man, he was just playing
normal ball.
I told you he's back to just being a model citizen.
Okay, and he's in Kansas City. That's my point.
But he also was like that in New England.
Fear of Belichick, probably.
But I'm saying he grew up. He matured.
I just think there are guys who. The bottom line is they are different people, different teammates if they're getting the ball versus not. And if you put the guy in an offense where they had ways to feature him, I think the effort goes up. I think the focus goes up. I think the production goes up. And I do think that one of the problems with Mike Tomlin in this situation is he thinks he can manage the player's personality. Okay. But the one way that you might have a surefire chance of getting through to him, which is running a much more aggressive offense that features him even more than this one has already.
Yeah,
Mike will not do.
I agree. They need to do it more, but let's not act like he's
gotten 40% of their targets. He's got the most targets.
He's got the same number of targets this year as friggin' Jamar Chase, Terry McLaurin, and Mike Evans.
I understand that.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hawk report time with our Steelers insider at 93.7thefan.com. Jeff Hathorne brought to you by LGKG Injury Lawyers. 7 locations in the Pittsburgh region. They'll take your personal injury case personally. LGKG.com. Jeff, Ray Fittipaldo reporting that George Pickens has been late for work on multiple occasions. Have you heard things similar to that?
So I can confirm one. And, you know, one time, most people have been to work late at least once in their life. So one time is a one time. But I had not heard multiple times, but obviously I trust what Ray is reporting.
Jeff, do you get the sense at all when you're in that locker room, when you're around Pickens and his teammates, that there's any tension or frustration from the teammates about Pickens?
Well, there was on the sidelines Sunday. Twice he came off the field. And he went to sit on the bench, and each time when he went to sit on the bench, the person sitting on the bench immediately got up and went somewhere else.
Who was that person?
I don't want to name the person, but let's just say it's an important person to what's going on offensively.
Was it Justin Fields?
Let's just say it's an person that's very important to what they're doing offensively.
Was it Van Jefferson?
Well, given the way their offense functions, it could be Corliss Waitman.
But, you know, you don't see any. I mean, when he's in drills, he goes through drills. I mean, when we're in the locker room, he's not. So it's hard to for us to really get a gauge of how he interacts with his teammates. And even in those times, it's only a small sample size. So, I mean, Freiermuth said today, you know, he knows he's frustrated. He knows he's got to be better and that he was in a good mood today. But he wasn't making any excuses for him, just that they're aware of his frustration. And I look at it this way, guys. Listen, everybody's competitive. Because, you know, Cam Hayward didn't toss his helmet, you know, across a bench, does that mean he doesn't care? Like, this excuse about some of his actions as being ultra-competitive, well, everyone in there is ultra-competitive.
Well, wait a minute. When you say the excuses, are you saying that, like, Steelers players and people are making those excuses?
No, I'm saying what people are saying of George.
Yeah, you're talking about
fans now? Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, or people you see on Twitter or
okay, gotcha.
People that kind of go through Schefter, i.e. his agent, and that, you know, how he's ultra competitive.
Gotcha. One follow-up on the guy that moved off the bench. I'm interested in this now. So you're uncomfortable telling us who. Is this because you think it breaks some kind of policy, like at practice?
Yeah.
Even though 70,000 people there potentially could have seen the same thing because it's an open event, it's not a closed practice or anything like that, Jeff.
It is. I know it is.
Okay.
But I bring that up for the point of if he comes and sits down and then a player gets up and leaves, and this was in the story that we did after the game on Sunday at 93.7thefan.com. I mean, that tells you where guys just, they don't want to hear it. You know, whatever he might be saying or whatever vibe he might have. I mean, I'll say after Connor Hayward's touchdown, he came over and slouched down on the bench while everybody else was celebrating.
Oh, great.
How pissed do you think, how close to the end of his rope do you think Mike Tomlin's getting with all this, Jeff?
Well, I mean, the load management is a load of something, and I don't think it's management. And what he's telling us.
You're talking about fecal matter, Jeff? Is that what you're doing here in the Hawk Report?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Just making sure.
Yeah, I think there's some frustration. Yes. Is it to the point where they don't want to play with them? No, it's not like that.
Do you think Mike is willing to change philosophically the way they try to play offense? I know he's been targeted more than anyone else, but they still want to be a run-heavy, pound and ground and all that stuff offense. Do you think that there is any consideration towards opening it up more in the passing game as an, you know, to try to get him involved, basically, even more?
I mean, they tried to take a couple of shots in the first half, and obviously, you know, nearly connected on the pass to Hayward and then underthrew the pass to Jefferson in the first half. So they did take a couple more shots, but they're not going to change philosophically just to appease what George wants to do or to try to get him more involved. It's going to have to be within the flow of the offense, and the best way for that to happen is for them to get that run game going, so play action is a threat. And then when that's the case, then there'll be some opportunities downfield.
Jeff, how about the quarterback situation? Full participant today. I mean, we're getting it from every, you know, opinions on this are all over the place. Some of the national people think that it's definitely going to be Fields and Wilson might never play here. NBC seemed to think Sunday night that it was fait accompli, that Russell Wilson was going to go back and play. Florio said as much with us today, and Aditi said, based on our conversations with Melissa Stark, that it sure seems like Wilson's going to play on Sunday. So you were there. How do you come down on this?
Well, he was able to go through the full practice today. And as Mike said yesterday, he ran with the second team. I mean, you see some of the videos, he looked good. Out there. He looked spry. But as Mike said, he was going to run with the second team. So we haven't gotten to the point. He went through his first full practice. He still would have to, you would think, get some reps with the first team before he's going to go into a game. My feeling on this is that Fields gets the start on Sunday, and then based on how that goes is what we'll see against the Jets the next week.
Okay.
Would we know by tomorrow?
A last hurrah.
Jeff, would we know by tomorrow, you think, if Wilson's still running with the twos tomorrow, you could pretty much rule out him starting on Sunday?
Yeah, I would say that. Because Friday's more, I mean, it's a practice, but it's more aligned with a walkthrough than a physical practice or any type of physicality. So, but if he starts to work in tomorrow with the first team, and we're going to get to talk to him after practice tomorrow, then, as you know, Tomlin loves the word ajar. It does leave the door ajar for the potential. But right now, it doesn't seem any doubt that Justin is the starting quarterback.
Okay. Jeff Hathorn with us. Jeff, do you think the Davante Adams trade happens?
I don't.
Do you think a trade for a wide receiver happens?
I think a trade for a wide receiver is a definite possibility. I just don't have a feel from vibes around the team and just us talking as reporters as much as anything that I don't foresee that happening. A trade, yes. I mean, they understand. They know that they need a number two receiver. It's what are they willing to pay? What kind of player can they get? And, you know, what fits what they're trying to do?
Why does Roman Wilson not fit what they're trying to do? And does Brandon Johnson somehow fit it more? Because he didn't even play a single special team snap. Cabali noticed that. So it's not like you can use that excuse for Brandon Johnson getting called up.
So that's the thing. The reasoning was, well, you know, Johnson can play some special teams for us, but obviously he didn't in that game. Roman Wilson continues to work, continues to be a full participant in practice. He just cannot win the coaching staff over, and that he's ready to contribute, which is surprising. Where he was drafted, optimism of him after OTAs and minicamp, but that injury in training camp has really set him back.
Jeff Hathorn, our Hawk Report, 93.7thefan.com, live from Steelers practice. Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, guys.
There you go. So he confirmed that Pickens was late once. And who am I to cast aspersions on a guy that was late once? Remember when I showed up late for our show at Bowser Monroeville the other day?
You were like 90 seconds late.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the same
thing. Coughlin would say that I was 16 minutes late.
Man,
in that situation.
What an annoying guy he was.
Tom Coughlin?
If you're not 5 minutes early, you're late. Shut up.
Yeah, he's got two rings, though, Mulsey.
Okay.
Well, that matters.
I'm sure nobody on the Giants that entire year when they beat the Patriots was late. Or the next time they beat the Patriots.
What do you think Tom Coughlin would do with George Pickens?
Probably not have drafted him in the first place.
He'd have him tarred and feathered. Which, did that really happen?
Oh, yeah.
People were having tar put on their bodies.
Yeah.
And then, what, just a bunch of old bird feathers or chicken feathers or whatever just lying around and you throw them right on them?
I think it ended up killing the person.
Well, yeah, I don't think you just take a shower and the tar and feathers come off, Chris.
What a way to go.
Donnie, was that your understanding of that? People just poured hot tar over a person, and then
it's bad enough you're gonna die
out in like the public square.
Yeah,
like the crowds were out, they were cheering.
Like, you gotta be a real sicko. The guy that came up with that punishment, you know, like, who had the first thought in their head, here's an idea on how to kill somebody, let's get some hot tar, and if that's not enough,
put feathers on them.
Right.
Cluck like a chicken while you're dying. Oh, then there was drawing and quartering somebody. I mean, they were vicious back in the day.
They really were.
What about that pressing in the Salem witch trials?
That's why people say, man, things are worse now than they've ever been. You sure about that? We were tarring and feathering people back in the day.
I mean, the guillotine was humane, my friend.
They were stripped naked, stripped to the waist, and then wood tar was poured or painted on this person, preferably in the private regions, it says.
So really, they were just, what were they obsessed with tarring the junk for?
God.
Look at old chicken penis out there, and he's going to die.
Bro, I mean, it was miraculous. I mean, JT literally sprained his nuts. Oh, excuse me, sorry. Sprained his nuts the play before, comes back, makes the game winner.
Yeah, a little bit different there. I'd rather have sprained nuts than be tarred and feathered. But that was miraculous. That should win an SP.
The spray nuts line?
You know what? Give him comeback player of the year.
He came back 30 seconds later from a vicious high nut sprain. Those usually take games to come back from.
Today's case,
with Judge Donnie. Will the Pittsburgh Penguins make the playoffs? On one side, it's Andrew Filippone.
I'm lead prosecutor on the case, Mulsey.
On the other side, it is your old pal, Mulsey.
I might as well be Johnny Cochran.
I mean, you are pounding the hell out of that thing, Donnie.
What the hell are you doing with that gavel?
The gavel's going to be
holy crap.
Split in half by the time we're done with this
I got
segment.
A couple extras under the desk.
Hacks on
you
Jim
need the
Duggan.
White wig. We need to get him a white wig.
Like an old, like an old Revolutionary War.
You know what? I'm going to order one off Amazon for you.
Oh, and
this.
You want to just get a Halloween costume of it. They 100% have them.
Yeah. All right. So I am prosecuting the Penguins here, arguing for them not making the playoffs. Well, I've already put my money where my mouth is here because I've made a $1,000 bet with Tyler Kennedy that they won't make it. Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin played every game last year, and they missed the playoffs. Jake Guentzel has been subtracted off of this team. Oh, Michael Bunting. He was fun. He brings a different style. He's a little rough and tumble. I do like that. But I can guarantee you something. He's not scoring 40 goals this season. Let's say we're lucky and he scores 20. That's 20 goals you've got to make up. And I don't even think 20 goals will be enough because 40 from Guentzel, not enough to make the playoffs the last 2 years. They essentially brought back a team that looks a lot like last year's team that wasn't good enough with the same goaltending tandem. By the way, Nedeljkovic is out, even though it's not supposed to be long-term, but who the hell knows with hockey injuries? Maybe it will end up being longer term. You never can tell. I think Tristan Jarry is a pumpkin who will again show that he was not worth the big contract, the big money that he got. And the moves they made this offseason, I can't believe I'm going to say this, they were Pirates-esque. They were one-year rentals on guys with the hopes that they either get back to being who they were years ago, like Kevin Hayes, or trying to get a guy like a Cody Glass and hoping, hey, this team wasn't able to unlock his potential, but we think we can. You want facts to back this up?
Not
FanDuel
really.
Does not think, the odds makers do not think that the Penguins are a playoff team. They have set their point total for the season at 89.5, which would actually be a couple points worse than last year. I rest my case. The Penguins are not a playoff team in 2025.
If it does not fit, you must acquit. I'm sorry.
Mulsey! Don't, you can't just scream things like this, like that, when it's not your turn to talk.
Objection!
There's a venerable judge here.
Sustained.
Thank you.
Do you even know what that means?
That means you got it. The objection goes through.
Objection's
overruled.
Good. Overruled means no.
Okay. Mulsey?
The Pittsburgh Penguins are going to make the playoffs in the year 2024-2025 years. I put my money where my mouth is, foolishly also putting $1,000 of my money on the line with Tyler Kennedy. There is a little bit of hidden vigorish here, and I think TK taps into it when he just says, I can't imagine Sidney Crosby staring down the twilight of his career, missing the playoffs three straight seasons. That might sound like an absurd, hokey, generally just fluffy explanation.
Because it is.
Objection! Shut this guy up, Judge!
Sustained.
I could see him leaning closer to the mic like he wanted to give it a little smooch there. Too many gavel bangs, though. This gavel sounds like a car trying to start. With almost any other player, though, I would say that basically suggesting that a person would will a team to the playoffs is foolhardy, but we're talking about one of the five greatest players ever to lace up hockey skates. I don't discount that. His health was great. Malkin's health was great last year. It probably, in each case, especially Malkin's, won't be great this year. But I still will buy into and be willing to bet on elite talent, even if it's past its prime, like Malkin clearly is, giving you some offensive production. Here are things I do like about this team. I like Drew O'Connor on Sidney Crosby's wing. I like Michael Bunting being that sort of sandpapery, different type of player than Jake Guentzel. He's undermining my arguments. We're going, what is he, Spence Filippone? Thank you. People cheering in the streets now because of this. Shut up! just be quiet. You know what? I'm declaring. I'm going to declare mistrial here. This is unbelievable. Anyway, I like Michael Bunting stylistically. Raquel, it's funny, TK said Raquel yesterday or earlier today with us as like a guy he was optimistic about.
Mr. Filippone, one more.
Can you imagine if we got a guy dressed as a bailiff to haul him out of the studio?
We're going to get Cabali in here to be my bailiff.
He might blow an Achilles doing that. Anyway.
It's also going to smell like boiled eggs or whatever he said in here.
Listen, I'm not going to sit here and tell you Rutger McGroarty is going to somehow be this transformative player.
I'm not going to sit here and undermine my own argument.
No, but what have we complained about? They need youth. They need some size. He has both of those things. He could fit on a third line. I actually like Lars Eller. I'm not going to really say much about the fourth line. Kevin Hayes wasn't brought in here like because they thought he could reinvent his career. He was essentially just brought in here to play out the string on a fourth line for 5 or 6 minutes a game. Grizzlick is an interesting player to pair with Letang just because the guy knows how to play with talent. He played with Charlie McAvoy in Boston, so he's accustomed to playing with a guy that's offensive-minded. I don't think that will be a terrible pairing. Not a very sizable pairing. Grizzlick's like 5'10", but it could be a good puck-moving group. And then here's the real thrust of this. We have heard often, in fact, it goes back to the case of Paul Martin, where a defenseman came here and just could not figure it the hell out in year one, and then had a significant jump in year two. Do I feel like that's going to happen with Ryan Graves? Probably not. Do I think that could happen with Erik Karlsson when he's healthy, when he's right? Yes. If they, as for as many warts as they had last year, if they were a league average team on the power play, they would have made the playoffs. I'm going to bet on talent in the form of Crosby and Malkin, and I'm going to bet on talent in the form of Erik Karlsson that they get just enough to get into the playoffs.
Donnie, do I have time to make a brief closing argument?
I was going to give you both.
Okay. Thank you.
Here, how many seconds? This should be disciplined.
30 seconds.
Okay, go.
The Rangers, the Devils, the Hurricanes, the Bruins, the Maple Leafs, the Lightning, the Panthers, the Islanders, maybe even the Senators. I'm naming, that's 9 teams. You think the Penguins are better than any of those teams? Maybe one? That still doesn't get them in. I don't even need the full 30 seconds.
Okay, ready? Your Honor, I am too drunk to taste this chicken. I rest my case. No, I just think that, here, in all seriousness, I'll keep going. I have 23 more seconds. Usually teams, A, suffer some injuries that kneecap them. That could happen to the Penguins, but it could happen to other teams too.
Again.
And you usually get one or two teams that underperform expectations that end up just slogging through a season where, for whatever reason, they don't meet their expectations. The Penguins have been a disappointment to some degree the last couple
years.
That's
30 seconds.
I don't think
done.
It'll be this year. No, I was running under the gun. I just hit the timer.
Donnie, do we have a verdict?
It sounds like an Amish person building a deck.
All rise.
I'm going to stand up, actually. I'm going to respect the court.
So am I.
I'm going to respect the court.
In the case of the Pittsburgh Penguins making the playoffs this season, they will not make the playoffs this season.
I'm 1-0, baby.
Now, what if I was like that guy who jumps over the judge's desk or whatever you want to call it, to try to attack the judge?
Then I think Cabali would probably use a... what do you call those electric shock?
Cattle prods.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Donnie. Judge Donnie. I'm going to maintain proper court room.
I kind of like Judge Donnie. I kind of want to keep this going. We could keep it going on an even smaller scale. Timed arguments. This was a very big picture thing.
He needs the wig. I think even though we are an audio medium, we now have the YouTube page. We got to get him in here with an actual... The gavel's real, clearly.
Honest to God, if we could time it up right, it would be very funny if Donnie would start the segment himself and we had to walk in the door and come in like an actual courtroom.
Postseason baseball is here and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.